Ever feel like your WordPress site is moving in slow motion? Switch to Kinsta's Managed Hosting for WordPress and watch it fly. Host your site on Google Cloud's fastest servers with worldwide data centers so your pages load instantly. Need help? WordPress experts respond in under 2 minutes and will migrate to your site for free. Try it yourself. First month free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta. Simply better hosting.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.com.
It's Fightful's The Hump with
Jimmy Van
and
Sean Ross Sapp.
Fightful.com. Yeah. What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It's The Hump. It's July 9th, 2025. Jimmy, how you feeling? You feeling extra humpy today?
Oh, I'm feeling humpy, Sean. I'm feeling humpy. What are we on? So I think it was the third take with the new website.
Oh, buddy, it's probably more than that. I mean, there's still some errors. Let me tell you.
Yeah, there's still some errors. There's still some errors, but mostly aesthetic. This time, mostly aesthetic, but it's been a process. So if anybody follows Fightful, the website, you probably noticed that it changed this week. It was our third attempt to put it live. Just shit happens sometimes, I guess. And we had some issues the first couple of times, but it's up now. It's still a work in progress. If you notice anything glitchy, feel free to, you can put it in the chat if you want. You can hit us up on Twitter.
Like the thumbnail issue for this show on the site right now, which does not show a live video. There's some glitches there.
There's
some definite glitches there. We're working through it. We're doing what we can. But this is a little behind the scenes. Not to say I told you so, but back in 2016, I was like, what the hell is this platform you have us on, Jimmy Van? And you're like, oh, it's what we're going to use. It's very customizable. And it was very customizable.
But I'm also not a developer. So it was the head of my dev team who, I don't know if you ever dealt with Dave back in the day.
I did.
He was like a very intelligent, competent person. And that was the platform that they chose at the time. And it was fine for a while. But the support for that, for Drupal, anybody that's techie, the support for Drupal ended. And so we had to get off. And so we did. And it's been, when you have, I can't remember how many articles we had, something like 15,000, I think it was. So when you have that many.
15,000. Are you kidding me? It's over 100,000.
Oh, is it over 100,000? Okay, whatever it is. When you have that many that have to be imported, it's a process. But it got done. And thanks again to Logan for helping out. I'm sure he'll be in the chat at some point. He's been a big help getting this done.
Big thank you to him. Again, we're still working through some of the stuff here and some bugs. And again, 9 years worth of articles that we had to have carried over there. And I mean, you were saying 15,000 articles. Jimmy, we have over 6,700 podcasts alone that got converted over. So,
I mean, that explains why they said, hey, we're going to do the export at like 10 o'clock at night. Don't post anything new. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, for sure. Man, just a ton of stuff like that. But guys, leave a thumbs up. I can't tell you how important that is. Get your super chats, get your humper chats in. We're going to talk about what you all want to talk about today. This gentleman, Josh Morgan, just always dropping like these big super chats and not leaving a comment. My friend, if you ever want us to say anything or to read anything, you want to plug anything, my friend, please tell me. Please tell me.
He must be doing well trading options. Good for him.
Jonathan Hedman says, hump. And I want to send my love to Jonathan Hedman, surgery this week as well. But Jimmy, I got a lesson in media literacy this week. And the lesson is...
You did.
Yeah, oh, yeah. The lesson is a lot of people don't have it.
You just learned this, Sean Rossap.
Jimmy, I really sincerely hoped by the time that I retire or die, whichever comes first, that media literacy in wrestling would be improved. But what I have learned, and unfortunately, it has been reflected specifically 10 years, for the last 10 years, an awful lot in the world. It doesn't matter what you say, people will put their fingers in their ears and scream and just ignore any semblance of insight or fact or anything like that. And that couldn't have become more clear than the Mercedes Moné creative control situation. And I did a full video on this, Jimmy. Mm-hmm. Full video on this. And I can tell you exactly where it emerged from. You know those street journalists, Jimmy? A street journalist ran up to Mercedes Moné years ago, or it was last year. And then what they do is they get these things and they sell them to TMZ, and TMZ just does whatever they want with them. And the interviewer said, are you happy you have that creative control that you didn't have in WWE? Now, this interviewer had no knowledge of what creative control was. She was referring to creative input very clearly. I highly doubt that this interviewer said, do you get that creative control contract or clause in your...
Yeah. They wouldn't have... Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
And I don't think that Mercedes or most wrestlers I have learned understand what creative control actually is.
But Mercedes was also in character for that, I think.
She had a title belt on her shoulder, all that good stuff. But, And hopefully this is the last time we talk about it, but creative input is a thing that almost every wrestler should have. They're all creative, Jimmy. They're all creators. They're performing. Creative input is something that most actors have. Like they get a line, they say, well, how about this? What about this? That's just common. People acting like Mercedes Moné rules her creative with an iron fist. I saw people say, well, she's got her own writer. Well, so do a lot of people. I mean, dozens of wrestlers have producers, writers that are specific to them. Because I'll give you an example. CM Punk with Alexandra Williams in WWE. The Bloodline had Michael Hayes producing their stuff for years on end. Obviously, Will Washington works very closely with Swerve. You've got Dustin Rhodes. He produces all of Swerve's matches. Christopher Daniels is going to produce the Young Bucks matches. That's just the way that works out. And
you even go back as far as Gewurz and The Rock, really.
Exactly. Yeah, it's very common. And I asked Tony about it, and he gave a very clear answer this week. But I'm interested in your thoughts about how all that unfolded.
You know what it is? What it is, it's tribalists because they see Mercedes with like six belts. That's what it is, right? It's WWE tribalists that see Mercedes with six belts. And so they just think, well, she's got creative control because she doesn't lose and she's got six belts. I think there's no question she's got a lot of influence. There's no doubt about that. And she's one of Tony Khan's favorites. I don't think there's any doubt about that either. But when I think creative control, I think Bret Hart, the last 30 days of his WWF contract.
Sure.
When he had contractual creative control, which means that he didn't have to lose to Shawn Michaels at the Survivor Series if he didn't want to. And that's how the Montreal Screwjob happened, because Bret didn't want to put over Shawn Michaels for fair reasons. Not that I want to talk about the Montreal Screwjob for an hour, but for fair reasons, he didn't want to put over Shawn Michaels.
Well, if you are interested in talking about the Montreal Screwjob, early next week, EMLA has a new Fightful Studios video on what it's like to interview Bret the Hitman Hart. I've been doing a few of those over in the studio to my left, but it was a lot of fun. I think my favorite thing in watching that interview back, Jimmy, is you can tell how hilarious Bret Hart thinks that he is, and he is hilarious. Like, he's got very good comedic timing, but you'll watch him like stop himself from laughing really hard all the time because he knows he's funny.
Do you remember, I think it was on the, what was the name of Bret's documentary years ago?
Wrestling with Shadows.
And do you remember when they showed a clip from Canadian Stampede where he's helping Neidhart go through what he's going to say in a promo? And Bret looks at Neidhart and he goes, "What about we're going to be hungry and we're going to leave no man untested?" Yeah. And then as soon as Bret says, he goes, "Oh, no, we can't say that. yeah. No, but going back to Mercedes, like, Mercedes is a very polarizing figure, right? She's got people that love her and she's got people that hate her. And the reason that she didn't work as a babyface when she first got to AEW is because of that, because of her polarizing character. I think that a lot of fans that aren't fans of hers see her with six belts and see her never losing. And then that's just their assumption, is that she's got creative control. So I get what you're saying. Like, she obviously has influence. There's no question. But creative control is contractual. I mean, that's what it is. That's what Bret Hart had. It's contractual. And so, you know, it's one thing to have influence. It's another thing to have creative control. I will say this, and in a little bit, I want to go over the All-In card with you.
Oh, we will.
She can't beat Toni Storm, man. She can't beat Toni Storm.
Well,
they have to know not a good decision.
Well, your boy posted a podcast today on FightfulSelect.com. Best $5.99 a month in the business. I'm going to go through that plug right now. $5.99 a month. All this week, we're going to be posting some long-lost pitches from previous all-ins, things that almost happened or nearly happened but didn't. We're going to have behind-the-scenes news on AEW All-In. We had a bunch on WWE yesterday, a 2K Wyatt family storyline coming with unused Bray Wyatt footage, which is going to get a lot of people emotional. We confirmed a long-standing rumor that WWE is doing Halloween Horror Nights in Orlando with Universal Studios. Might be going down there for that to check that out. But we got a lot more coming this week, my friends. We have a ton. We're going to have some news on another planned AEW All-In match on FightfulSelect.com today. But it's not just that. I do a Q&A article every day. We got a Q&A podcast with me every week. We got one with Grapsity every other week. Got a Discord. $5.99 a month. We are also selling individual posts now as well. I just discovered that option. But today on the podcast, I did a bit of a quick rundown of what I think will happen this weekend, Jimmy. And I expect Mercedes to be the betting favorite with our new partners at MyBookie AG. I've got Toni Storm winning that match, Jimmy.
So I look at it like this. So obviously, I've seen people in the live chat. They're looking at Ultimo Dragon, right? And Ultimo Dragon had 10 titles simultaneously. And some people in the live chat just said, "I want Mercedes to be the next Ultimo Dragon." You have to understand, that was 30 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
The business is different than it was 30 years ago. Everybody knows it's predetermined entertainment. And you'd be shocked that 30 years ago, not everybody did, right? It's a different business. Toni Storm and Mercedes are head and shoulders above everybody else in AEW in terms of the women's roster. It's Mercedes and Toni Storm, then there's a gap, and then everybody else. I think it's a mistake if you have her beat Toni Storm for the AEW women's title after she's already wiped out everybody else. I don't think you're going to get the reaction that you want out of that. I think it's a mistake. I know that you said in the past, maybe it'll be like Omega, where Omega had a bunch of belts, lost one, then lost another, and then go in that direction.
That's what I think is happening.
Yeah, then go in that direction. But I just think you've already elevated Mercedes so far over everybody else on your roster, except for Toni Storm. Mm-hmm. It's a mistake. It's a mistake. So I think Tony's got to win that. And then if that leads to Mercedes unraveling creatively, then there you go.
I think this is the start of a feud that I'm sure Toni Storm hopes will exceed that of Mariah May, because now that she's in WWE, and here's how I see it unfolding. Toni Storm beats Mercedes. Mercedes is beside herself. You know, she thinks that she is the queen shit in pro wrestling. Then another title, then another title, then another title, then another title, until she just has the TBS title left. And that's all she's got. Like, that's the one. And I think that she loses that as well. And then the catalyst of all that is Toni Storm, and she's working to get back up to Toni Storm. Now, who is often cited as Mercedes Moné's top inspiration in wrestling, Jimmy?
Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah. Eddie Guerrero. Who could he never seem to beat? Rey Mysterio.
Okay.
Rey Mysterio. I think this could be this generation's Eddie Ray, where not only does it serve as the catalyst for this dissension, I think Tony's got her number for a long time. And then maybe a year, maybe two down the line, when Mercedes finally does that, it's sort of the culmination. And AEW is very good at telling these stories. So I'm very excited to see this one unfold. I believe that Toni Storm is winning this. And tell you what, my friends, if you believe that you know more than the odds makers, check out our friends at MyBookieAG. We're with them through the end of the year, and I'm so excited to have them on the team. Use the code FIGHTFUL. Get a $50 bonus when you deposit $100, or get a $100 bonus when you deposit $200. You can bet on anything, anytime, anywhere at MyBookieAG. They've got a 50% sports welcome bonus, a 150% casino bonus, up to $750. You can bet with Bitcoin if you want. They've got table games, live casinos, slots games. Right now, they have a fantastic prop bet, Jimmy, that I want your opinion on. This has been blowing up my Instagram notifications all day. Right now, the over-under on Spears in Gunther versus Goldberg is 2.5. But it doesn't specify who delivers the spear. Do you think there will be more or less than 2.5 spears?
Less.
I do too. I'm with you. I think there are 2, which is the underdog right now, by the way. I say hammer the under instead of the over, because I don't think this is going to be a real long match. You can only do that spot too many times. So what I think is spear once, Gunther kicks out. Spear and a jackhammer, Gunther kicks out. The third spear attempt, eventually, it's going to get missed. That's how I'm feeling about this.
I think by the time Goldberg gets to the ring, he's going to be gassed. Because especially the adrenaline dump, because you know, he's going to be back in the trunks again, and all of that. He's going to be gassed. I'm terrified. Gunther is a big dude.
Yeah, he is.
And I think sometimes people don't realize how big Gunther is. I'm terrified about Goldberg's ability to get him up. The best comparison I can make is Bray Wyatt in Saudi, and he had trouble with Bray Wyatt in Saudi. That was a very quick turn on that.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On that jackhammer. So I'm a little concerned about his ability to get Gunther up. What is Goldberg now? 59?
Yeah, he's up there.
So 58. Yeah, I'm a little nervous about that, but at least he's in there with a pro. If anybody can, I mean, Andre was able to, you know, everybody could slam Andre. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I probably could have slammed Andre. Friggin' everybody did. So Gunther's enough of a pro that maybe he'll be able to get it done, but that concerns me a little bit.
My bookie AG, use the code Fightful. Your account is account management is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to offer assistance and aid for all your concerns by phone, email, chat. They have you covered. My bookie AG, we're going to have a whole lot of their odds. I mean, they are our exclusive odds maker, but we're going to have some more tips on FightfulSelect.com. Please only bet what you can, and please bet responsibly. Let's talk about some of these super chats, humper chats. Just Mass says, let's hump. Bad mental day. Needed this show. Well, we're glad that you're here. We're glad you're spending that time with us. Any update on Shayna Baszler's situation? Body Slam reported she was a producer last night for NXT. So, sort of. Like, here's what they reported. They reported that she was listed as a producer. So what that usually means is that when they're bringing somebody in to see if they'll work out as a producer, like they are doing with Shayna Baszler. That is an accurate story. They will have them shadow somebody. They had her shadowing Chris Gerard, who I believe is the former Oney Larkin. I spoke to people within WWE, and they said, you know, they're kicking the tires on it. They're going to see if it's a good fit, see how that works. I'm sort of surprised by this, Jimmy, because I imagine she would have plenty of indie interest. I honestly thought that she would probably get an AEW offer to do a tag team with Marina Shafir if she were to do that. Does this surprise you?
No. I can't begin to know what her motivation is, but for some reason, I don't see Shayna going out there doing a bunch of indies. I just don't. You know, she's you have to remember she had an MMA career before wrestling. She's been around a long time. And so I just didn't envision her doing a ton of indies. So this doesn't surprise me at all. And I'm sure that she has a lot of input. I'm sure she can be very helpful in that role.
Yeah, I do too. Knows a variety of different styles as well. Do you think we see Keith Lee back in the gauntlet? I mean, if he is good, like he says he is, I think we should see him in there, Jimmy.
Have they announced anybody at all? Like how many have been announced for the gauntlet?
Mystico, MJF, and Mark Briscoe. Yeah, MJF, so the reason they don't announce anybody for it is because realistically, if MJF knocks out Mark Briscoe in 2 seconds and pins him, the match is over.
Yeah, understood. Yeah.
So
I think a lot of people are, and again, we'll get to the cards in a bit. I think a lot of people are thinking Darby's gonna pull it off. But yeah, Keith Lee, like you said, he posted on social media that he's good to go. So that'd be a great spot for him.
Parker Hines says, media literacy, never heard of her. Just kidding, but really excited for All In. I'll be there, so will I. Says, if Hanger loses, might not watch AEW ever again. If Hangman loses, it is going to be a mass turn the TV off and don't tune in Wednesday type of situation, Jimmy. It is, they got away with it a few times and it ended up working out in their favor because now they've got this great moment. If Hangman is not champion, it's going to affect the company negatively, I believe.
And I'm sure that Moxley is going to look strong in defeat because it's a Texas death match. So that means there's going to be a bunch of interference. There's going to be a schmoz, as Bret Hart likes to say. So I'm sure he'll look good in defeat. I'd be shocked if he loses clean. But I'm with you. I'm with you, man. It's Hangman's time.
Meat Norma says, can confirm I have creative control over these chicken wings. Let's crank. Darby, Keith Lee, or Wardlow to return the gauntlet. Prayers for Texas. I don't know about Wardlow yet.
Yeah, he's got some acting gigs, right?
Well, he's in American Gladiators right now, which is an incredible fit. I had reported that he's got a very appropriate TV role coming up, and that is what it is, and it is incredibly appropriate. Darby, I think, might actually be in like the Avengers ending of AEW All In as one of the guys helping Hangman fend off the rest of the guys. I could absolutely see Keith Lee in there, and I think he should be, which is something we mentioned. It's cool to see the Noah guys rooting for Inamura via video. Made me believe he'll win. Who in WWE would you send to there? So I would want to send somebody who isn't like used a lot. So I'd probably send Otis over to Japan. I think Otis would do great in Japan.
Yeah, he would.
I think he would do phenomenally.
It's a travesty that he's not utilized because he gets a pop every time he's out there.
Yeah.
Travesty.
any word on if the Casino Gauntlet winner will be a Money in the Bank cash-in style again this year? So I want to say, I haven't heard one way or another. I'll ask this week, but I can tell you, they hated that last year. They hated
being,
it.
They being who?
They, AEW.
They did. The company did.
They did not like it. It was an albatross. It was an albatross. It's very difficult for them to work around.
I mean, all they got to do is just say that they get a title shot on whatever show. You know what I mean?
That they have to declare.
Yeah.
I would like that they have to declare and make a challenge for a future show is right. What I think it should be.
Right.
You can do it for any show, but you just can't do it that same way. Is it fair to say that Mox Hangman is AEW Starrcade Sting versus Hogan with the backlash AEW would get if Mox retains? Sort of, but I compare it more to Cody and Roman last year. Roman had a big stable around him, and Hogan did as well. Mm-hmm. But I, like, as good as that match can be and would be, Jimmy, I think everybody's looking forward to the shenanigans. They want all the run-ins. They want the cameos. They want all that. Sting and Hogan should have been like a 7-minute one-sided ass whooping where Hogan got almost no offense the entire time. That's what that should have been.
I wonder if Nick Patrick around?
Oh boy. I did a show called Reffin' It Up recently with Brian Hebner, Jimmy Corderas, and Daniel Spencer. And I named Nick Patrick as the worst referee I have ever seen.
Really?
I hated his ref. He would lay on his back and.
Yeah, he did. That's how he would count. Yeah, you're right.
It was so bad. It was so horrible. He would always make the show about him. Like, he would always, for all the criticisms that Aubrey used to get and still does, even though nobody can point to me one of these times in the last 3 or 4 years where she's done like anything dramatic, Nick Patrick always tried to make it about him.
Hmm.
But
I never really thought about it. He did portray a heel ref at one point.
Yeah.
And he was a wrestler before he was a referee too. But
I don't know. We have some humper chats. Kim Gray says, have to have a spinal tap today and have to lay flat for 24 hours. Thankful for Fightful and the podcast to keep me occupied. Have a great wrestling weekend. Well, don't say that on this show, Kim, because you'll have people saying that that's the only way Mercedes could lay down for more than 3 seconds is a spinal tap, even though it was reiterated she doesn't have creative control. Kim, we're wishing you the best, my friend. Tony says, my question about the counter programming. So let's talk about this. This was a big point of discussion. Uh-huh. If this move has no effect on AEW pay-per-views, will WWE still do ineffective counter-programming moves like this or swing for the fences and possibly start to throw major PLEs against AEW pay-per-views down the road? And Mike M says Dave Meltzer reporting record low numbers for Raw, Netflix, and low SmackDown viewership numbers, in addition to poor attendance for this weekend and other economic factors in WWE. Is their so hot right now streak coming to an end? There's a lot to get into about these two things, but I thought they sort of were married. Jimmy, I would like your thoughts on this because I think it's way more than just black and white, yes and no. But how are you feeling about all this?
So in terms of business, so I did see that you put on the thumbnail, did the counter programming backfire? In terms of business, no, I don't think so.
Exactly.
And the reason I say that is the business model is different today than it was 30 years ago. You know, if the business model was the same and they had to rely on pay-per-view buys for the Great American Bash and pay-per-view buys for Evolution, I'd say good luck. It'd be a challenge, but they're relying on Peacock in the US, Netflix internationally, doesn't make a difference. And if we're being honest, like the last I looked, according to WrestleTix, they had distributed about 5,000 tickets for Evolution. That's not bad. Considering that the show was thrown together very quickly, they haven't even announced, and I want to talk about Evolution later more, but they haven't even announced much in way of veterans, Nikki and Trish, and that's it. There's been a bunch of women's veteran talent on social media. Straight up, they said, I haven't gotten the call. I wish I did.
I mean, they've got like 7 matches set for
it. No, they do. They got matches announced, but the Battle Royal, I think, is one of the big draws of the show, I think. And Trish and Tiffany is going to be a draw too. But the Battle Royal is one of the draws. They had Nikki Bella doing press. She did the rounds, the media junkets, because she's in the Battle Royal. but they haven't announced anybody else. And I'm sure that they want to do the surprise factor. I know that you suggested they should make it like a Rumble, which I think would be a good idea if they did.
Yeah. But now that it's got seven matches, it's like, I don't think they will do that.
Yeah. Cause they want to have
time. I thought the Rumble element was better for, you know, surprise pops and all that, right, as opposed to having everybody stand there in the ring and be like,
yes, I agree. I agree. Because, you know, there's been a lot of rumor lately about AJ Lee because WWE Vault has put up a bunch of stuff about AJ Lee.
Yeah.
I don't see her coming back in a battle royal for the exact reason that you just outlined. Yeah. I don't see it. You know what I mean? So we'll see. Now, I said in terms of business, I don't think that the counter programming has backfired. Now, I don't think it has, but here's my question for you. Do you think it's backfired in terms of talent morale or fan goodwill?
So I got, it's so funny because I got a whole bunch of people when Cultaholic aggregated something that I reiterated last week from a month ago, there were people like, well, how would they know? It's so funny because it's either, oh, well, he was told by these unhappy talent, or it's, well, he doesn't talk to anybody. How would he know? So it's one or the other from those people. But yes, when the announcement of this show happened, I had a number of talent that were like, feels like we're set up. Like, we didn't know about it until a month before. Mm-hmm. It's across the street from Beyonce on MLB mm-hmm. All-Star Weekend during AEW All-In Weekend, on the third show in town of the weekend. And there are it's so wild to me that people were like, oh, well, what does that matter? What does it matter when you're battling traffic against Beyonce? Gee, I don't know, man. I don't know. It's baffling to me. And there's a whole lot of people in the company that felt like it was a here you go, finally, type of thing. But not all the women wanted an Evolution show. There certainly are some of them. Mm. But listen, there are some women high up on the card that's like, that before they added a last women's match to, I can't remember if it was Saudi or Saturday night's main event, but one of them said to me, oh, do you think they'll have all the men come out and do a curtain call at the end of this all men's event they're going to do like they had us do? And I was like, damn, okay. It's just, it's highlighted a number of things that have honestly, like, I think the last couple of years in WWE creative is obviously significantly better than under Vince. Like, it couldn't be worse.
Yeah. It's been bad the last year though. Hasn't been great.
Yeah. By and large, usually they have one or two really hot programs at the top. Right.
Yeah.
But it's really highlighted like, oh, well, they haven't had a real title program for Io Sky this whole time. Mm-hmm. And oh, they had a team qualify on Friday for the tag team title tournament or the tag team title match, then put a team that lost on NXT in it, and then they put a team that just reformed in it, although people are now claiming to me, if you pin one of the champions, well, that's all you need. How about pinning another tag team? How about that?
But they didn't even say it. Like, if they had explained it, maybe, but they didn't, right? It was just out of pure saying, hey, you guys are back together and you're in it.
The Trish Stratus thing, they didn't even have that nailed down until the day before she was there. She was there filming it. Becky, Bailey, and Lyra is, you know, that's pretty solid, all things considered. It's just, to get there, they had to remove Bailey from WrestleMania.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of just planning accordingly.
They are trying with Rhea. With Rhea and Io, they put that package together talking about how Rhea hasn't beaten her one-on-one. And that was kind of cool, with the Mae Young Classic and everything.
Guess who Io hasn't beaten? Anybody for the title during her title reign.
Right, yeah.
Because they booked a terrible title reign. Jade and Naomi, love it. Love it. And I think this will continue. I think Jade wins. I think she wins SummerSlam. And then I think Naomi cashes in. I got nothing but good things to say about Naomi and the way that she has done this. But I feel like it was hastily built.
Yeah.
Hastily planned. Spitefully booked at that. And it was WWE throwing darts at a board to be like, how can we do as much against All In as possible? And then they did this. They're throwing NXT, an all-women show, and Goldberg's retirement up against it. And listen, that's their right to do so, but it's also our right to be like, well, it's a little exhausting to watch unfold. And if AEW did it to WWE, I'd say the same thing. Yeah. Before any weirdos get in the chat and say, ah, okay. And somebody says, Liv's injury caused problems. No, WWE's booking caused problems. Nobody forced them to book Liv Morgan in four programs at the same time while she held the tag titles. It should have affected like one program.
But Sean, they did that. I understand why they booked Great American Bash because of AEW. I understand why they booked Saturday Night's Main Event. But Evolution is the next day. Why did they book it?
And they were going to book it the week before, Jimmy. It was supposed to happen this past weekend in the Northeast. It was going to happen like the 5th or 6th. And
like, do they think it's going to help the traveling fan if they have a whole weekend of shows? Is that why they did it?
I don't know. It was pretty blatant that they did it this weekend for a reason. And that's just their method. And it has always been a thing within WWE. And it's been passed down from regime to regime. If you don't really have your heart on something like, say, a Rey Mysterio title run, it's going to be booked in a way to where it seems like it wasn't successful. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Rey Mysterio wins the title and you have him lose every other week on TV while he's holding that title. It's going to seem like that was a failure. Well, it was booked that way. Yeah. They booked this on a Sunday with all this stuff. And like, yeah, I know that there were reports of scheduling conflicts. Who said it had to be this weekend?
Right.
Could have been the next weekend or the weekend after that.
Yeah. Especially like you said, when the concert's in town too. Makes it even worse.
Yeah. And I mean, what it highlights is WWE views AEW as competition, regardless of what the dumbest fans say. And if that's how they want to view it, they're good. Do it. But you'll see a lot of fans that are like, huh, AEW said they wanted competition. I'm like, did they? I don't remember that, but who cares anyway? Like, you're allowed to do this. It's not illegal or anything.
Yeah. I have no problem with it, but I just, like, again, there is no AEW show on Sunday.
Yeah.
So given that the concert was happening, I just don't understand why they decided to do it now.
Yeah. And listen, there are people that talk themselves into circles. Acting like a Beyonce concert against the street is not something that is going to affect things, but it does affect things. It certainly does. As far as the other stuff, is the WWE still hot thing? I mean, listen, a couple years ago, I was at Rupp Arena and they did 9,000 fans for the Usos turning on Roman Reigns. They did like 12,000 last week. They are still a hot ticket. They are still making a ton of money. I am not going to sit here and look at Nielsen ratings in 2025, the year 2025, as the be all end all of anything else. Now, do I wish that those Evolution ticket sales were higher? Of course I do. I do wish. I want that for the women that are there. I want that for the fans that love that type of event. I would love if AEW, WWE, NXT all sold 50,000 tickets this weekend, because that would be very good for us. But I think that it's going to have its peaks and valleys, and it's going to have things like that. But they're still a very hot ticket right now. They really are, and they're very smart from a business perspective as well.
They're more embraced by the mainstream than they have ever been, ever. Yeah. I mean, how many? Nikki Bella was, like I said, doing the media junkets. Kelly and Mark, or whatever the hell that show is called now. She's all over the place. Jimmy Fallon has everybody on. You know what I mean? Like they're very, very embraced by the mainstream. And I think that ticket prices have a lot to do with where the numbers are in terms of attendance. I think that has a lot to do with it. This is why they're able to, oh, hey, you know, we drew 2,000 less than last time we were here, but guess what? Gate record. That's the reason.
Yeah. Which, I mean, there's venues where they're getting slightly less, but there's venues, again, like Rupp Arena, where they are selling more tickets than they have in decades. So, cool. Full reference is a FightfulSelect.com exclusive. Says, is AJ Styles retiring next year? If so, hope he gets a farewell tour. Fightful Select reported that those close to him had claimed that he had signed a one-year extension. I did reach out to AJ and WWE, didn't get a confirmation on that. But he is definitely a person that I think is worthy of a farewell tour. And I know a lot of people have said, oh, it would be great to see him in AEW and New Japan again or TNA. I think that everything that he has indicated was that he really loves WWE and he loves working there. And 6 years ago, he said he was on his last contract and he has liked it enough to where he stuck around and made good money. I do hope that there is a final TNA match in his sort of retirement run.
he's also now a made man. And what I mean by that is he's doing this thing with Dom. Now the story is Dom's got a doctor's note, right? I can't defend the title because I have a doctor's note. And AJ's making it entertaining. Maybe in the past, people would have looked at it and said, this is below him. This is below him. But he's been there, done that. He's been the world champion multiple times. And so he can do this like Jericho. He can do this and it's perfectly fine. So you know what? One trend I've noticed lately watching interviews like Randy Orton talking to Stephanie McMahon and Kevin Owens in a couple of interviews, they've talked about how things have changed when it comes to talent and how things have improved when it comes to talent. And Randy was talking about how, you know, if I want to go, you know, my daughter has something, no problem. And he said, Hunter missed a show recently. And I was like, oh shit, is he okay? Where's Hunter? Oh, my daughter's in the baseball national championship. So Hunter went and watched that on a Monday, right?
Yep.
Totally different. You did that under Vince McMahon, and you're probably putting somebody over the next week.
Yep. It's absolutely.
Things have definitely improved. My only concern, like I always talk about, is when they're only working one day a week is injury from rust.
I feel it's the opposite. I think you're better off wrestling one day a week than 3 days a week.
Because your body has the time to heal up.
Oh yeah. By far.
I will say this. I've seen video of say Charlotte at Flatbacks, and they're still busting their ass, you know, in the ring when they're not out there.
So it gives them the opportunity to get in there and train too. I mean, they were trying out new stuff on live events before,
right?
And even then, that footage is making it to TV. Now they can go out and ply their trade and try it. And actually train. I like it. And I mean, that's something that I think WWE should be commended for, is the fact that the significant morale improvement in that company from the low point that I experienced covering Royal Rumble 2022. Mm-hmm. It was bad. It was so bad.
And it's funny that all it took was guys to come in that just look at dollars and cents. That's what it was, right?
Yes. And sometimes when you look at dollars and cents, it makes more sense to keep the talent happy.
Yeah.
Give them the time.
No, but
off.
They just looked at it like, okay, our live events are break even. Why do them? That's how Ari Emanuel looked at it.
But even then, they're like, you know what? It's a lot better to have a happy roster than a destroyed roster.
Right.
Tony P says, although the build may not be for some people, this may have been one of the best, Mercedes' best builds to a title match of hers ever. I do see Swerve helping Hanger to win the match by not letting him fall down to win. See you hopefully in Texas, Sean. Oh, yeah. I think that that's going to be a big thing, is Swerve helping Hangman. I think you're going to see the whole roster putting him up on their shoulders, Hangman. But Swerve's not in there. Swerve will be at the end of the ramp. He looks down. He nods. And everybody's paying attention to Hangman in the ring. But Hangman looks up there and nods. And it's one of those types of things.
Let's quickly get your predictions on the card. So Moxley, Adam Page, Texas Deathmatch.
Hangman.
Yeah, I agree on that. I think you and I are going to agree on most of these, actually. So AEW Women's Title, Tony Storm, Mercedes.
Tony.
I agree with that, too. Winner take all for Unified Title, Okada, Omega.
I'm torn on this one, because if you go babyface at the very top, you might need a heel holding that 1B title. I think Okada... I'm like 51-49 in favor of Okada.
I also think Okada. I think Okada needs it more.
Yeah.
Men's Gauntlet, Casino Gauntlet. I think Darby. I think Darby's taking it.
I think MJF wins it, or they prevent MJF from winning it. I feel, honestly, I think that this will be a very fan service show near the top. So I think you got to have some heels win some things. And I think MJF wins it.
Women's Casino Gauntlet, I honestly have no idea, because like I said, there's become this gap between Mercedes, Tony, and everybody else. I have no idea. Well, who do you think for the Women's Gauntlet?
Either Athena, Chris, or Willow. And I've got it down to Chris or Willow there. I'll probably say Chris Statlander.
Okay, Swerve and Ospreay against the Bucks, and the stipulation is if Swerve and Ospreay lose, they can't challenge for the title for a year. If the Bucks lose, they're stripped of their EPP titles. I think Swerve and Ospreay, because they're going to go a whole year without them challenging for the title, and the Buck EVP thing is played out.
Yes, it's played out. It is time to move past the takeover element of this.
I
think it'd be kind of cool to have the Bucks stripped of that power and have to start from the ground up within the story.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. TNT title, Adam Cole, Kyle Fletcher. I think it's Kyle Fletcher's time.
I do too. He is incredible. I'll be speaking with him Friday, I believe.
Tag titles, the Hurt Syndicate against Jet Speed against Christian Cage and what's his name? Nick Wayne.
First off, I feel like a Cope and Christian reunion could have legitimately moved like 1,000 more tickets. And it's like they don't need that help in Toronto doing it. So disappointed in that. But Christian wanted to flesh out this Nick Wayne program as reported by FightfulSelect.com. I spoke with Kevin Knight yesterday. I think there's a possibility for Kevin Knight or Speedball to end up pinning Nick Wayne, be the catalyst for that. And that's the way you get the titles off Hurt Syndicate without them taking a pin, which they don't seem to take many of.
Do you think, so you saw how they booked Jet Speed and Hurt Syndicate on television, where Hurt Syndicate was just basically whipping their asses. Do you think that they, will the crowd be into it? Like, do you think that the crowd gives a shit at all about Jet Speed, the way they've been handled through this booking?
Yeah, I do. Wait till you hear the reaction for them on Saturday.
Okay. All right. Because they've been made to look like chumps so far.
Speedball Mike Bailey, who did a run-in in the comment section of our post-Raw show, is such an easy guy to like. He is going to prove to be one of their best signings of the bunch.
So you think if they win because they pin Nick Wayne, the crowd's, you know, they're going to be with it?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. That's a lot. That's that lineup. Now, I also want to talk about Saturday night's main event and Evolution. Saturday night's main event, there's only 3 matches announced because that's kind of what they do with Saturday night's main event. So Gunther Goldberg, we're on the same page, right? This is going to be 2 Gunther. Minutes. Yeah, 2 minutes.
I think it'll be longer than 2 minutes. I think it'll be about 6-7, but.
I saw some fantasy bookers out there, Sean, saying Goldberg somehow wins and Rollins cashes. I don't see it possibly happening.
Boy, that hurts. That hurts Gunther a lot. But I mean,
I don't see it. I don't see it. I think Gunther's going to wipe him out.
Quite frankly, the whole point of a guy like Goldberg going over as many times as he has in his life is to eventually put somebody out on the way back, way out.
Yep.
And I know a lot of people said, yeah, but what about Sting? Well, Darby got put over an awful lot during that. So that helped somebody.
I also feel like I understand Goldberg he didn't grow up a fan of the business and all that. I get that, but he knows the business. And I feel like Goldberg understands that.
So, I would like to think so too.
Yeah. So I think that Gunther's going to get his due. Now, 2 other matches, LA Knight Rollins. I'd love to see LA win. He could use the big win, but it ain't happening. I think Rollins is winning that one.
Yeah. And I think maybe call me a conspiracy theorist here, Jimmy. LA Knight is so over.
Yep.
He's going to stay so over. As the years go by, athletically, there's going to be some things that you can't run up the ropes and all that. Mm-hmm. But listen, that charisma ain't going anywhere. He's keeping that. And that charisma has been there for a long time, and he's going to stay over. I think what they're doing now is subtly doing the, oh, gee, we'd hate if you got behind this guy that seems to be losing a lot that you all like. That sure would be a shame if you all cheered for him more because he wasn't getting as big of a push as you'd like. I think there's a subtle, maybe intentional method to this. Mm. And I think that I have never felt more confident than now that eventually he could be a top title guy in the company. And he's nowhere near it right now. But I think that's what's going to happen down the line.
I feel like there's always been a gap between him and the top guys.
Sure. And I mean, a lot of that is because Roman's right there and Cody's behind him.
But even Rollins, I would even put, I don't know about Drew McIntyre, maybe. But there's a gap between him and those guys. It's always been there, I feel like.
I think he'll become world champion at some point.
Okay, and then the other one, which is interesting, Randy Orton, Drew McIntyre. I think Drew, just because he just returned, he's got to win it because he just returned.
That's who I'm going with.
So, all right. And then the last one we'll talk about quickly is Evolution. And so the first one, I guess, Io Sky, Rhea Ripley. I think Rhea wins because of the story they're telling, where she's never beaten her one-on-one. My first question for you is, how's the crowd going to respond? Because the crowd's with Io. They're with Rhea. Rhea's a star.
Yeah.
But they're with Io. How's the crowd going to respond if Yo loses when she just got the title and hasn't had the opportunity to defend it?
They're going to be fine. Rhea's a megastar. I mean, they should have booked this title reign better. But the crowd there will be fine because, like, when you see Rhea Ripley in person,
yeah.
Like, undeniable megastar.
Yeah. Okay. Tiffany Stratton, Trish Stratus. There's no way Trish wins. No way.
Tiffany, your boys at FightfulSelect.com reported that story.
You mentioned no holds barred, Jade Naomi. Crowd's going to be with Naomi.
Oh,
they're going to be with her. Because it's no holds barred, that would give Jade an excuse to lose.
I think Jade wins.
No, I know that. Yeah.
Why would they have her lose heading into SummerSlam?
Yeah, I guess it would depend on the consequences or the stipulation, whatever. But
here's how you do it. Jade wins. Jade wins against Tiffany at SummerSlam. That night, Naomi cashes in her money in the bank, gets that title off of Jade. I just think they've done a wonderful job with this feud. I really like it. Naomi, especially. Shout out to Naomi for doing the best work of her career. Like 15 years into her career.
Yeah, it seems like she's digging it too. Yeah. NXT women's title, JC Jane, Jordan Grace. I think whoever wins at Great American Bash is losing at Evolution.
Right? I do too. I'm going with JC here. I think they're gonna do like a mountain for Jordan to climb a little bit, maybe some supplemental feuds, because it's very easy to just be like, here's Jordan, she's in the company, title. Here's Blake Monroe in the company, yep. Here's the title. They've done that an awful lot. I think that they're creating some better stories within there, or at least that's the trajectory I've seen, because it seems like they have wanted to maybe give some battles there.
The four-way for the tag titles, Raquel, Roxanne, Charlotte, Alexa, Kabuki Warriors, Sol Ruka, Zarya. Charlotte and Alexa, that's like a dream team. Like, how do they lose?
I would like to see that because it's something different for them to do as well.
Right. Yeah. 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 And they're just a dream team. Like, they got to win. And then the last one's the Battle Royal, where I think, is Nikki the only one announced?
No, Stephanie's in there. Natalia, right. Maxine, a bunch of NXT girls are going to be in there. Yeah.
Here's a question for you. Do you have predictions for surprise entrance?
No, because there will probably only be a couple because they're all just going to walk out. Right.
Right.
Like,
right. Yeah. I mean, they could have them be the last one that comes out or something.
Now, Stephanie Vaquer, Ivy Nile, Nia Jax, Nikki Bella, Natalia, Maxine, Kalani Jordan, Jada Parker, Lola Vice, Lash Legend, Izzy Dame, Tatum Paxley, Zelina, Julia, Candice LeRae. It's either going to be Stephanie Vaquer or Nikki Bella, in my opinion.
Yeah. All right.
Well, my friends, if you want to watch all the WWE content this weekend, our friends at NordVPN have you covered. If you're a wrestling fan and you're frustrated with all the services you need to watch all the different wrestling shows, Fightful has your solution with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Change your virtual location with just one click and you'll be able to watch Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and PLEs on one Netflix account. You'll also be able to get a lot of pay-per-views at a much more affordable price than you do here in the United States. This is a must-have for wrestling fans. That way you don't have to have 7 different accounts to watch all of the shows that you want to watch. In addition to that, they have a great 30-day money-back guarantee and an incredible deal right now going on. But that's far from it. You can protect yourself on their VPN service, the fastest in the world, shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourselves on public Wi-Fi, and it's available on all your devices and operating systems. NordVPN.com/Fightful. If you don't have NordVPN.com/Fightful, you're missing out. If you're in the chat and you use NordVPN.com/Fightful, let us know. Right now, you can get the AEW All In pay-per-view at half the price. Half the price. You can get all of your WWE content with one Netflix subscription. It's a good time. Let us know if you use that NordVPN.com/Fightful. We have some more super chats and humper chats, Jimmy. Corey says the most hyped match I'm looking forward to is Okada Omega. They have very high expectations to live up to years after what you would consider their physical prime, right?
I agree. Yeah. I mean, I'm not too stoked about that match because I've seen it a bunch. For me, it's got to be Hangman beating Moxley in terms of All In. That's what I want to see. That's what everybody wants to see.
Can you ask about the Mercedes Crunchyroll merch crossover? Curious where this came from. So I saw this and I sent in an inquiry to somebody who worked on it, and they told me it was 2 years in the making. That is a big deal. Crunchyroll is huge within that community, and obviously Mercedes is a fan of that type of stuff. So very cool to see that. Lots of IWC discussion about how people's faves aren't being booked well in WWE. Feels like locker room is happiest it's ever been. Do you sense that? The happiest it's ever been? No, definitely not. But not, okay. If I could have a meter in the top of my screen and the bottom of my screen, like, we're about here. At times, over the last couple years, we've been here at the very top. Under Vince in 2022, it was down here. Royal Rumble, the worst I'd ever seen it. The only thing that resembled it was them working through COVID and, like, a lot of the stuff when the Fox era started. When Cody came back, it rebounded a little bit because they saw how Cody was booked and they're like, all right, maybe the old geezer still has a little bit in him. Maybe there's some of that. But then by summer, it kind of went back down. But Cody coming back did give some real optimism there. But I'd say it's right about here. Not quite there.
Unless you're Dominic Mysterio. If you're Dominic Mysterio, then you're basically here all the time. It feels like that guy's really loving life. He's loving life. Yeah. Just eating chicken tenders and cutting videos. Good for him.
Prayers to all those affected by the flooding in Texas, and prayers to Seth and Becky Red. Their home was broken into. I believe it was their beach house. They were on the other end of the country.
Right.
No, they were shaken up a little bit, but yeah, it's insane to have to worry about that type of thing. Cool Fool says, have you heard about any potential network streaming services interested in TNA TV rights? No, I was supposed to talk to Carlos Silva today at 7:30 for an interview. They tried to reschedule it for Friday. I'm going to be out of town then. So I was going to ask that, but I've never heard of specific networks or streaming services that are interested. I've just heard for a long time that they were shopping it. Jimmy, do you think they land anywhere specifically?
Do I think they land anywhere specifically? No. However, do I think that there will be WWE fingerprints on wherever they land? Yes.
Possibly. Yeah.
This is one of the things I was going to ask you about. The tie-in to WWE, that this whole thing is just so interesting. So this news broke because Carlos Silva, the president of Anthem, spoke to JohnWallStreet.com. And for people that don't know, JohnWallStreet.com, it's a newsletter, but it's also a publishing business. They do consultation business, all kinds of stuff like that. And Nick Khan is one of the investors in JohnWallStreet.com. So it's interesting that they're the ones that broke this story. John Carlos Silva, I want to ask if you think that this is realistic. He says that they're targeting $10 million a year to do 52 weeks a year live. And he said that they think a weekly number between 250,000 and 500,000 Nielsen households is a realistic target. Note he said households, but yes. He said that's a realistic target. Do you think there's an appetite for this? Like in terms of a cable network or streaming service, do you think that there's somebody out there that wants to pick up TNA and give them $10 million a year?
Possibly. I mean, listen, $10 million a year.
Yeah. It's low for 52 weeks a year. Yeah. It's low.
Yeah. But I mean, also like you could do a lot worse than that. Yeah. I mean, you could do zero like you are now. Right. Yeah. Like, so if they were willing to cover some of the live costs as well, cause I mean, listen, a lot of that's going to be eaten up by the mere cost of going on the road, additional flights, all that stuff. The 500,000, I don't see that happening. I see it on the lower end of that.
It's households, but, though. So they usually count, two or three per household, I think?
So households, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because if viewers are counted per household.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. To me, I look at this and I think, like I said, WWE's got their fingerprints all over this. Number one, this conversation wouldn't be happening if not for the partnership with WWE. And I think TNA knows that, but I also think that WWE wants this because you want to take away an option potentially from AEW from when their Warner Brothers Discovery contract comes up in a couple of years. So I see their fingerprints all over it. I don't know. Maybe an Amazon.
I mean, that would be ideal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something prevalent, something widely available. Tim Traver says, hi, Jimmy and SRS. Thank you for the generous super chat. And please check out the Diecast Collective. I do a crawl here every time that he sends one of these. He says, there's a lot of wrestling this week. I'll be watching some of them. I'll be cooking out this Sunday, late morning, early afternoon due to the heat. Tim, don't send a super chat, but let me know in the comments. What are you cooking out? I want to know what you're cooking.
You ever made a tomahawk, Sean?
A what?
A tomahawk.
Like a tomahawk steak?
Yeah. You ever made one of those?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we just had that recently. It was amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like 3 pounds.
Listen, you want to hit up Omaha Steaks and have them send me a bunch?
They're not the best.
Okay.
They used
I'm
to be
a filet guy.
Omaha used to be a client of mine years ago, so I'm not speaking out of tune. Yeah.
Really?
They're not the best.
There was somebody I interviewed, and as a thank you, they sent me a box of Omaha Steaks, which is very thoughtful of them. Like, I'd never had that happen before.
I saw a video once. Brock Lesnar was down. There's these butchers in the U.S. somewhere. I think they're in Ohio. And they're prevalent on YouTube. And Brock's got a connection to them. So he went down there.
Remember.
And have you seen it?
I have seen it.
So if anybody hasn't seen it, they all barbecue tomahawks. Tomahawks are, like, including the bone, like 3 pounds for a tomahawk.
Yeah, yeah.
They all barbecued them. And then Brock Lesnar basically ate it like a lollipop. Like this three-pound tomahawk.
Yeah. Yep. Guys, please leave a thumbs up on this video. I cannot possibly convey, like, you know, listen, there's like thousands of you watching. If you leave a thumbs up on the YouTube video, it helps us a lot. Also, join in the comment section after the fact. That helps the world and YouTube know that you care about us. Considering she's on the poster and social media working in the ring, can we expect Kiana James in the Evolution Battle Royal Sunday? It seems like a very WWE thing to bring a woman who's been out for over a year back as just a random person in a battle royal. So I'm going to say, yeah, it's possible. She was here in Lexington like last month when I had reported that. So she's been backstage. What is the counter for the promotion of someone who does have creative control and it not hitting? Can they just not be on TV and let the contract run? No. So
here's what you do. You talk to the referee beforehand. And you tell the person with creative control, you're going to get your submission on them. And yes. Yeah, no, there you go.
So I'm glad that you asked this, BL. So first off, only two people have had creative control, Bret Hart and Hulk Hogan. Bret Hart had reasonable creative control, of which was what he and Vince would reasonably agree to. Reasonable within the context of pro wrestling, very subjective. Hogan's was complete creative control. If he wanted something changed and it involved him, it was changed. Jeff Jarrett straight up said he had that in TNA as well, he being Hogan, and said that's why Hulk Hogan was on every single show, because he put himself on every show. Just Mass says, Weird Al rocked, by the way. I am incredibly unsurprised to learn that Weird Al was very good.
Weird Al, oh, because he went to the concert, right?
He went to the concert, yeah.
Okay, I saw that and my mind went somewhere else, so I'm glad that was clarified.
Sean, can you mention that Omos has been benched so he can reappear on TV next week? My friend, FightfulSelect.com reported that a number of months ago. And since then, it's been reported that he has signed a new deal. So he has not wrestled since January, his Noah thing. He's not wrestled in WWE since April of last year in the Andre Memorial Battle Royal. He did a series of live events before that, but on TV, here are his most recent matches. The Andre 24, the Rumble 24. He did Saturday night's main event against Tozawa. Oh, no, never mind. Sorry, that was a house show. So no, he wasn't on TV for that. He did the SummerSlam Battle Royal in 23. Those are his matches in the last 2 years on TV.
Omos is actually on my list. So
okay,
I want to talk about this. So do you remember a few weeks ago, Booker T on his podcast, the Hall of Fame podcast, talked about Omos, and he talked about how hard it is to book Omos because he's too big and in theory he should squash everybody. And I responded on Twitter and I said, that's bullshit.
Yep.
I said that if you watch back taped how Andre the Giant was presented in the early to mid 80s, it can absolutely be done. He should be presented as a babyface, not a heel. There's a way to do it. I also mentioned Ryback and how Ryback first got pushed. And do you remember that this led to, at the time, a lot of discourse on Twitter? One guy that responded to me got over 300,000 views on his post because he said, Jimmy, Ryback?
Yeah.
And you and a bunch of other people jumped in and said, you have no idea how over Ryback was.
He was incredibly right? over
at that time.
Go back and watch when he saved Vince McMahon from CM Punk. The yes. camera was shaking. It was like the hard camera was shaking.
Yes.
It was so loud.
And Ryback's presentation was kind of Andre the Giant-esque when they brought him yeah. in. And what I mean by that is, if you're not an old school fan, Andre the Giant used to make his living doing 2-on-1 handicap matches, 3-on-1 handicap matches, battle royals. That's how he was utilized, never in title matches, ever. And sometimes they would put him in tag matches against the top heels. And you'd have a guy like Roddy Piper, who was fantastic with the facials, right? Because Andre was the smiling giant, but when you pissed him off and that smile disappeared, you knew you were screwed. And Piper was really good with the facials with that. That is the way that you present Omos. When Ryback was brought in, what was he doing, Sean? Enhancement matches during an era when there were no enhancement matches. 2-on-1 handicaps, sometimes 3-on-1 handicaps. And by the time the program came up with Punk, Ryback was over, legitimate. And so to me, that's how you handle Omos. And there have already been examples of how this has worked. Do you remember when Omos tagged with AJ Styles? And AJ did all the work with Omos. They accentuated his strengths. They hit his weaknesses. Remember when he and Bobby Lashley had a face-off on Raw? And this is when Omos had spent weeks as AJ's tag partner, you know, like I said, accentuating the strengths. And when him and Bobby faced off, the crowd went ballistic. Because finally there was somebody that can maybe match up to Omos, and they proved yeah. that it can work. So I think it's completely inaccurate to say that you can't book Omos. Now, is Omos going to be a multiple-time world champion? No. Should he be put in world title programs? No. You handle him the way that did Andre the Giant,
Unless it's a completely appropriate one. Sorry to interrupt. Right. I've got a lot of feelings on this because, like, listen, the guy used to be green. I did not think that he was ready. And then what we have seen is them not use him at all in the last 2 years. So what yeah. I want to know is...
And miscast him.
Yeah, miscast him. Do they have him in the Performance Center? Because he seemed very happy working in NOAH and doing some of his best in-ring work in NOAH at the very end. Yeah. He seems keen on going back there. A lot of people say, like you mentioned, people go, oh, well, you can't plausibly beat him. Based on what? What would happen in a real fight? Okay, Jimmy, I covered MMA for a long time. You remember Semi Schilt?
Of course.
7-foot-tall kickboxer, badass son of a bitch. Minimal man's 5'9", 198 pounds, and beat him. Right situation. Yuki Kondo, 170 pounds, Jimmy, beat him.
Yeah.
Like, it happens. So what you do, you want me to book Omos right here? Here's how I do it. Yes, introduce him as a babyface.
Yep.
One man APA. That's what you do.
Enhancement matches. You put him in enhancement matches.
Even that. Have him in enhancement matches here and there. Yep. You have him protect people as like a hired bodyguard type of thing. You don't have to beat him. You can get heat on heels through that, all that stuff. And then when the gas on that runs out, he does something very heelish. And then a babyface has to overcome him and beat him. And that's how you get them over as a result.
I think that they can get a lot. I think they can get a lot of longevity over it. And I understand that TV today is different than it was in the 80s when Andre the Giant was presented, because they didn't have live TV every week then. I get that. But Ryback to me is the most recent footprint of how you can do it. You just, like yeah. I said, you have them do enhancement matches, 2-on-1, 3-on-1, throw battle royal on Raw, have them wipe everybody out. Can be done. You do tag team matches, and whoever the top heels are, he annihilates them in the tag team match. It can be done. He's been miscast the whole time.
Saturday night's main event battle royal, and he just eliminates everybody.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, when he was on that Bravo show with that Andy guy, I forget his name all the time, and it was one of the rare times that Omos on a television show got to showcase his personality.
He's a very personable guy.
Yeah, yeah. He's been typecast, miscast this whole time. And so respectfully, I disagree with Booker T. Omos can be booked. They don't have a clue what to do with them.
Yeah.
And let me ask you this. This kind of ties in a little bit. So I'm watching Raw on Monday, and El Grande Americano is out there. And the commentators are making it very clear that's not Chad Gable, right? Yeah. They didn't say it's Ludwig Kaiser. They made it very clear it's not Chad Gable. And at one point, Ludwig Kaiser was speaking German to Dragon Lee, and the commentator said, hey, that's not Spanish. Like, they made it very obvious, right?
Yeah.
So the commentators at one point, they're talking about angles from the past with a masked wrestler. Like the Midnight Rider was Dusty Rhodes, and the Giant Machine was Andre the Giant. And when they said the Giant Machine, Sean, a light bulb went off in my head. And I thought to myself, that's the angle for El Grande Americano. And if you're, again, a newer fan and you're not familiar, in the mid-80s, WWF did a storyline with Andre the Giant where he was supposedly suspended. And while he was gone, this Japanese tag team called the Machine showed up. And they were called the Super Machine, the Big Machine, and the Giant Machine. And the Giant Machine was very obviously Andre the Giant. When they did house shows, they would have the Hulk Machine. And it was Hulk Hogan under the mask. They would have the Piper Machine. It was Roddy Piper under the mask. I think El Grande Americano could be this generation's The Machines. What about El Grande Omar, Sean?
That, I mean, I think that'd be kind of funny, honestly.
I would love it. I'd love it. They've already made it very obvious that El Grande Americano currently is not Chad Gable. They've made it very clear.
I want to see him do a tope con hilo, though.
They'd have to get clever with it. Yeah, yeah. I think it would be amazing. I think that what they should do is they book El Grande against whoever, and whoever the opponent is lays out Ludwig Kaiser first because he thinks it's Ludwig Kaiser. But the match happens anyway, and Omos is the guy under the mask. That would get over like $1 million.
That should be how it's handed out each time. Like the person who's taking it over witnesses the other person getting beaten
up. I love it. I love it. So the Machines, El Grande Americano, Money, Triple H, you're welcome.
Please explain the dopey Swerve Ospreay Bucks stipulation to me. The Bucks are a shoot EVPs no matter the outcome. Are they looking for a way to keep the title off Ospreay for a year? Well, it seems like you already have your mind made up, Lord Peter. I thank you for the super chat. But like,
let me just say this. Years ago, Vince McMahon lost half ownership of WWF to Ric Flair.
And to Vince McMahon or to Steve Austin.
And to Steve Remember Austin. That? Right. Like you can totally do it. Totally. It's television.
Yeah, like what power first off, I'll ask Lord Peter, what power do you think they yield as EVPs, shoot EVPs?
Nothing.
Because their on-screen character are power abusive EVPs that have helped Jon Moxley.
Yeah.
Now, if that is stripped from them within the context of this show, it's like you're saying, like, well, what if Walter White isn't a meth dealer anymore? Well, let me tell you, his income is severely limited after that. That's how you change the direction of their entire characters. Or you have two top guys who can't compete for the title for a year.
Right.
Tim says hot dogs, hamburgers, and chicken. That's a good one. That's a good one. Any word on what Chavo's new role will be? FightfulSelect.com reported that he has told people he's back with the company. I believe he'll be producing for the AAA brand and serving as a liaison, which makes an incredible amount of sense.
Good
to
for
me,
him. Jimmy. Yeah, I've seen a bunch of interviews with the Iron Claw guys, and all they do is put Chavo over.
Yeah.
You know? What did you think of Charlotte's article in, what's
Loved
it called again?
It. It's fantastic. The Players' Tribune.
The Players' Tribune. I respect so much her vulnerability in that, the things she talked about in that. And I have a lot of respect for Charlotte Flair. She gets a lot of heat from fans because she wins all the time or because she did win all the time.
She's good.
She's very good. One of the best ever. She's one of the best of all time.
I love that she brought up the double standard about age in professional wrestling, especially with women and all that.
And she said
stuff.
She wants to go until she gets to that age. Like her 50s.
I hope she wrestles till she's 50. I really do. I think that she is a phenomenal talent. She takes care of herself from a physical standpoint. Like she's always in shape, always puts on star performances. I think that she's incredible. And I loved that article. I thought it was an incredible look.
I have a lot of respect for her and talking about like fertility issues, which she's never talked about, and talking about her brother. And I have a world of respect for her. She is one of the best
there's
ever been.
She's great. We've got New Lack City sitting in Humper Chat saying, sorry, I joined late. Will you be at All In? I will be at All In. What barbecue places are you hitting? Hopefully I'll see you there, my guy. I'll be there. I don't know if I'll have the ability to walk around All In because usually it's a press box thing, but I'll be there the day before. I'll be at Starcast. I'll be running around. I hope I do see you there. Please walk up and introduce yourself, New Lack City. Just tell me who you are, and I would love to meet you. Barbecue places, it's a TBD right now. I'm going to see some friends Thursday. I think I'm going to dinner with Seahawk and some other people. So it's probably instead of barbecue, it's going to be just straight up raw hot dogs that he wants to eat.
And craft dinner.
No, I doubt that. But like barbecue places, I see a place near me. That's called the Smokehouse Arlington. I'll probably check that out, but it doesn't have a lot of great reviews. So I'm going to look around for something really, really good and try that out. But ooh, my wild prediction is that Shuri wins the gauntlet. Jimmy, I know you're not a big Joshi fan, but in my opinion, Shuri Kondo is the best wrestler performer on the planet. And if not her, Mayu Iwatani. So to give you a little bit of background, Shuri Kondo was a pro wrestler who then made it to the UFC and fought there for a couple of years and didn't have the best run. But selfishly, as I watched that, because I covered it full time then, I was excited after this 6-3 MMA run ended. And then, you know, she did a bunch of kickboxing as well.
She had a 6-3 MMA run. That's actually not bad.
6-3. Yeah, she lost. Bad. She went 1-3 in the UFC, but like had a really, really good kickboxing run as well. And selfishly, I was like, oh, okay, this is what I want to see more out of in her pro wrestling run. And I think that she has been the most consistent top level performer that I have seen. Her, Ospreay, Cody, and Mayu Iwatani are four of my top like main event caliber and Swerve main event caliber performers. I would love to see that. I think she's my favorite performer in the world, but. Mm. SRS hoping to see it all in. Jimmy, it's not too late. What's your take on what the match of the night would be for Saturday night's main event and all in?
I mean, for Saturday night's main event, I'm going to go McIntyre and Orton, I think, just because of the caliber of both of them. And all in, people are going to say Okada and Omega, but I'm sticking with Moxley and Hangman because as you mentioned earlier, it's a Texas Death Match. There's going to be, you know, shenanigans. And I always look back to Cody and Roman as the benchmark of good shenanigans. And I'm sure they're going to kind of go in that direction. So Moxley and Hangman is the match that I think should be interesting. Although, you know what? Tony and Mercedes want to put on a show, I'm sure.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
They Tony want to Mercedes put
on a show.
And Drew Rollins. Or Drew and
Randy. Orton. Yeah.
There you go. Would you be worried MJF winning gives away the ending of the main event, or does that really not matter? That doesn't matter. Everybody assumes Hangman is winning.
Yeah.
It's like we know the ending. Now, you will see people say, so predictable. But
no,
like,
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. If it's good, it's good.
I mean, when Cody got Roman the second time, everybody knew Cody's winning. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was one of the best finishes in WrestleMania history. It doesn't matter.
Sure. Brian more or less says, do you think it should be Okada? But I also think it'd be cool for Kenny to win it and come down at the end with him and Hangman holding both titles up. I think that ending, Brian, is a Hangman moment. I think it is him. I think even Omega is out there putting him up on the shoulders and all that stuff. Like, I think it needs to be a roster unites Lex Luger 97 type of moment. Just hopefully it lasts longer than 6 days like Luger's did. I think it should be about him. We have a few more if you've got a few seconds, but Terry Allen Jr. says in Georgia, my brother and I use martial arts training or MARTA train for Evolution to avoid downtown craziness. Wish wrestlers attended the Beyonce event. There were some wrestlers that said, wish we could get Beyonce to Evolution.
Oh yeah.
I mean, wouldn't that be ideal?
Yeah. I'll be honest. I'm not the biggest Beyonce fan.
Listen, if they could get her to do a Who Runs the World Girls performance across the street, that'd be pretty awesome.
Isn't Cardi B supposed to be doing something in wrestling?
They have not mentioned Cardi B or had her on the advertisements for SummerSlam for a number of weeks. After she did a video about it too.
Yeah.
Supposed to host it. Yeah.
Right.
Van Twinblade says, saw Baby Metal, Bloody Wood and Ginger. Well, don't hinder Dinger, I guess. Best concert I've ever been to and went to the last Warped Tour 1010 show. Every band on there was the shit. Listen, was on their shit. I don't know who any of those are, but since you mentioned the Warped Tour, shout out to my friend Samira, who did ring announcing at the Warped Tour recently, which is incredibly cool. She's been killing it. She's been doing great.
Did you hear about Coldplay in Toronto?
No, but one of my friends went to it, so please tell me.
So, well, they're doing more than one show. They're doing four or five shows. So
they booked out a block in London years ahead of time. That's why All In wasn't there.
Okay, well, so they built a new stadium called Rogers Stadium, and it's in an area that residential is not too far away from where the stadium is. So Coldplay does their first show. It's an open-air stadium. They do their first show. The next day on the news, Sean, there's a bunch of like 60-year-old, 70-year-old, 80-year-old residents bitching to the local news about how I couldn't sleep. My house is like shaking. And it was just hilarious. It was just hilarious to me. Yeah.
Damn. Didn't know they rocked it like that. Omos match with Rollins. Backlash was solid. It was. Happy 50th to one of my favorites, Shelton Benjamin.
Did he turn 50?
That's incredible. I'm supposed to talk to him this week as well.
Yeah.
But man, he is quite literally my favorite wrestler of all time.
Yeah, and he's an ageless wonder, Shelton Benjamin.
Also a trailblazer in the world of hating Mia Yim, which I appreciate. Jay Polanco says, thoughts on MJF comments about talent coming to AEW, and who do you think he was kind of referring to? I think he was referring to Miro and Malakai Black. That's exactly who I think he was referring to.
I don't know the comment.
He had said, you know what? I'll pull it up. And also,
guys that went there and left, is that what it is?
If you aggregate or clip me saying that, you're an absolute bitch. But let's see. MJF, AEW signings. Let me pull up the direct quote. MJF said, Tony Khan has learned you want people in your locker room that not only want to be there, but are worthy of being there. We've had a lot of guys in the past come in, think they're going to be king shit because they had their time in the sun for a millisecond and other promotions. That's not how it effing works. It's called all elite wrestling, not all average wrestling, not all mediocre wrestling, not all I'm going to show up, cash a check, expect to be world champion wrestling. It's all elite wrestling. Right now, everyone in that locker room is on the same page. We aren't coming there to cash a check. We aren't coming to give 50%. We're giving 110%. I think if you're going to come into a company, into my company, and barely put in your work, you're out of your goddamn mind. You don't belong here. We don't want you here. So stay where you are and be miserable over there because you don't belong swimming in the ocean with the sharks of AEW. This is something he has felt a long time. This is not new. He felt like this years ago. He felt like this around the time of the contract dispute and the whole plane ticket saga. This was a contributing factor. This is a contributing factor of that. And he was feeling very disenfranchised at the time. And Tony made it abundantly clear based on the amount that he got paid that he was liked, appreciated, and was going to be a big factor moving forward. So that's who I think he was talking about, those two people specifically. I don't think those are mid wrestlers, average wrestlers, but I think that the way that things ended up there, it clearly wasn't a good fit. And I think they are better off in WWE. And Tony Khan has held off on signing some of those people since then.
I mean, what can you say? I mean, it's not for everybody. You know, it's not for everybody. And Punk is another one. That's been very vocal about, you know, how it was there versus what he thought it was going to be. Clearly Miro thought the same way. And haven't heard too much from Black about it, but obviously he's back in WWE now and doing well. So, yeah, don't really have anything more to add.
Shout out to my friend New Lack City who says, sorry, should have added. My cousin that lived in Dallas told me to check out the original Roy Hutchins barbecue. Sharing with you and anyone else watching that will be there. Don't let me catch you down in Glizzy's like Seahawk. Oh, man. Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, I'm going to try out that place. Somebody said Tony signed Hurt Syndicate. Yeah, he did. How long ago had Shelton been in WWE, and how long had he really gotten the push that a lot of people had indicated? Like, signing Lashley is one thing. Signing the Hurt Syndicate is a different approach, but like, it's okay to sign some of them, but they were signing a lot of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody that came available at one point,
Troy, if you got a chat, let me know. But before we go, I want to tell you guys, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Please. It's our lifeblood. We would appreciate it. If you're here, leave comments on our videos. Check out our videos section, our short section, and our live section. We got a ton. We are available on podcast platforms everywhere. We've got a clips channel, Fightful Scraps. We've got an additional channel, Fightful Overbooked, that honestly, that channel has more interviews than most other wrestling websites. Just incredible. But we've got TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. If anybody has a connect at Facebook, we've been begging. please help us out a little bit. It is a nightmare. But the main thing I want to promote is a little website called Fightful.com, the website that has more free content than any wrestling website out there. I want to make it your destination for wrestling news. We've got so much stuff out there. It's very, very clear, concise news. It's got a new visual appeal to it that I'm very, very happy about. You can access our podcast from there. You can access events. You can go to our wonderful resources section, which again, we're working to make sure we get sorted out because there's like a couple issues on it, but we have contract news, rosters, injury updates, all that good stuff. But Troy says, was listening to your Raw review, wondering if you had any plans to bring back Ibu for one anytime soon. I will work with Ibu again in the future. Listen, what happened there happened. He took accountability for it. I've had some people say, why didn't you keep the same energy for him, like Air Gold or anybody else? Well, I'll tell you why. Because before I even had a chance to reach out to the people that were talked about in that situation, he had already reached out to them like a man, like an adult. And I had the conversation with him. He was a man about it. He didn't make excuses. He didn't backtrack. Even the things that like Britt or Tony took issue with, he clarified. He goes, you know what? That's on me. That's a misunderstanding. Then the man was willing to come on our stream and explain it to our viewers like a man. I will absolutely do business with Ibu again in the future. Now, let me tell you this. Multiple people that were involved in that situation reached out to me and said, you know what? You should have him on again. This shouldn't like ruin him forever or anything like that. And I agree. He's a wonderful individual. I respect Ibu. I think he's one of the best wrestling analysts there is. I think he's phenomenal with that. But
One more from Speed Punk.
I saw that. And also I want to promote this. In the Weeds had Blake Christian this morning, had some interesting tidbits in it. Speed Punk says, you see Hammerstone and MJF reunite on MLW. Would be cool to see Hammerstone on AEW. That is like something that's been kind of tiptoed around. Hammerstone and Holiday have told me they haven't been contacted for such a thing, but like those three are always going to be tied together because they were a part of a really good thing in MLW as the dynasty. But MLW, Jimmy, they deserve a lot more love. They've been filling up houses for the last year plus. And
Hammerstone is one of those guys. I'm surprised he hasn't been on WWE's radar because he fits the prototype. Don't you think?
Yeah, I was surprised he didn't get an NXT offer. I'm surprised Holiday didn't as well.
Do you think with Hammerstone is because Hunter, it's like looking in the mirror? Maybe that's a detriment.
Not now, because that people said that when he had the long hair. Which Hammerstone's a little bit shorter, but he's a great worker. I like Hammerstone. We're just a really brilliant guy.
Yeah.
Great guy. Here's a funny story, Jimmy. When I was training for my Shaza match, I would see, Ryan, where did you have a super chat? I didn't see you with a super chat, my friend. Oh yeah. Yeah. We read that one. Sorry about that. So when I was preparing for the Shaza match, I started to do the stairs and, I saw Jordan Grace would do 90 minutes and I saw Hammerstone would do 300 flights. And I was like, all right, those are my goals for this. I got to 90 minutes and I posted about it. And Jordan was like, you psycho. I split those up into like three a day. I was like,
oh,
wish you would have told me.
And you did 90 straight.
I do 90 straight often, Jimmy. I love doing 90 straight, but I got to 300 flights and I was like, hell yeah. I got the Hammerstone thing. Just wanted to do it once. The next week, he did 400 flights.
How many steps in a flight?
Hell if I know. But okay, let me tell you, Jimmy, it was a lot. It took me a good amount of time, but he did 400 flights. And I said, well, I am simply a bitch, and I will not do that. That's just what's going to happen. But yes, guys, Fightful Select or FightfulSelect.com as always, but Fightful.com. I feel like I don't promote the fact that we have just a normal functioning, hopefully, website all the time. All your news updates are there at Fightful.com. You can get all your results, all your like injury updates. You can get exclusives over there. We have more interviews than anywhere at Fightful.com. Jimmy, tell the people what you got before we go.
Not a whole lot. If you want to buy my book, The Storytelling Salesman, Enriching Tales for Better Business, you can get it from the Fightful Shop, shop.fightful.com, or you can get it from the website, storysalesman.com, or anywhere online where books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You know, I had an interview this morning, and I forgot because I was preparing for this.
Oh, yeah? Because you didn't think we were doing a show today.
I didn't think we were doing a show today. And
I'm committed, Jimmy.
And then last minute you said, hey, let's do it. So I forgot I had an interview this morning and missed it.
I would only not do the show. I would tell you if I was not going to do the show. But like, listen, we got our lovely sponsors at nordvpn.com/Fightful and my bookie, AG, code Fightful. They're taking care of us to do this show, which I greatly appreciate. But this weekend, we have a ton of post shows. We're going to have a bunch more on Fightful Select. Until next time, guys, we're out.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand. Through every step of the installation, call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.